Good morning and welcome to everyone today as we come together to study God's word, to learn and to grow and to be a loving people just like our Father in heaven loved us. That's our goal. We want to be more like Jesus Christ, more like God the Father, more like the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives and changes us and transforms us. I want us to open to the book of Ephesians. Return there with me, Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin around verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed, for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, all of it, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, hatred. God wants us to get rid of that. He wants us to be loving, joyful, and forgiving the way he is. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as God in Christ, that's the answer. Christ is the answer. Forgave you. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Jesus, we come before you this morning in need of you. Lord, we want to be more like you. We know that can only come through you living in us. Lord, we're so prone to have our own way of doing things. We need you to open our hearts and our minds to forgive. It's the only way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, we ask in the name of your Son to make us more like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do, especially when you think and you believe that you have been done wrong and that you have a right to equal the score, to punish your offenders. But in reading Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30 on, we see that God says we have to get rid of all of that bitterness. We're not allowed to have our day when we get things settled and everything's made equal. They hurt me, I hurt them. That is not the way of God. And yet, that is the way of this world. And so, I entitled this message, Forgiveness is not, dot, dot, dot. Forgiveness is one of the cries of our hearts. We want to know what is forgiveness? Not only what, but how to live a life of forgiveness. And forgiveness is not, dot, dot, dot. And I want to deal with that first. It is not what we think it is. Forgiveness is not retribution. Forgiveness is not payback. Forgiveness is not even a feeling. Because many of us live as if our feelings are and is the last say. We live by them. If we feel like it, we do it. If we don't feel like it, we don't do it. That is not God's way. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is not that you get up off your knees one day and you feel like forgiving somebody. It's not based up on feelings. You know, and Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah wrote under the inspiration of God, chapter 17, verse 9, says the heart, that's your feelings. That's your innermost being. That our feelings, that our innermost being, it is corrupt. It is deceitful above all things. You know what deceitful is? It means you can't trust it. You can't trust it. We have a heart that's deceitful, but yet we want to live by that heart. That if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I feel that it is wrong, then I will obey what's right. As an old song said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Notice the feelings dominate, but our feelings are corrupt. It's what Jeremiah is saying. That the heart above all things, not only corrupt, but desperately wicked. In other words, there's no hope of man by himself or a woman by herself changing their hearts. It is deceitful. One day you'll be up, the next day you'll be down. One day you'll be right, next day you'll be wrong. And if you went by that as a gauge, oh, you think your life has been a mess in the past. If you live by your feelings, you are destined for greater and greater hurts, greater and greater difficulties in your life. You really are. Don't live by your feelings. Live by the word of God. The word of God is what we follow, not how we feel. We get all kinds of ideas. Here you have this jar. It's an old mason jar, but I hope you notice what's on the front of that mason jar. It's an X. You say, what does that X stand for? It stands for poison. And some of us are poisoned with revenge. And we think that if we take our potion here, our revenge, we've been waiting, we've been adding it up and how many ounces we've got, that if we would just take that potion and we drink it. That's how I drink it on guzzles. No, I'm not that bad. But many of us take our bitterness, our revenge, and we drink it every day. We get up in the morning, we still got that hatred. We've got, this is what they've done to me. And we drink it in hopes that our enemy will die of it. They're not drinking it. They're leading perhaps a joyous life, a healthier life than we are. Because let me tell you something, when you are out for revenge, it eats you up. It really does. You're drinking poison every day, remembering what they have done for you or to you. You're drinking every day, hoping they will die. They're walking around getting stronger and stronger. I hope you can see the analogy that I'm trying to bring here. You need to get rid of that. That's not what revenge is. You cannot drink somebody else's poison, hoping that they will die. It doesn't even make sense. That's why Daniel wrote, or Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand it? God doesn't call us to understand our hearts and follow that with whatever the latest idea is, but he has called us to follow him, to follow his word. Forgiveness is not payback. Forgiveness is not getting even. It seems like it is, but it isn't. You're just poisoning yourself and your health. They have found that people who hold things, who are always focused on what they did or who did to them in the past, their health, their blood pressure, their whole life, their whole mental state is in deficit, is on the way down. A merry heart, scripture says, a merry heart, not a get even heart, not I'm gonna get them heart, but a merry heart, because you can't be happy trying to get somebody else. But a merry heart does good like a medicine. It'll help your health. To forgive. Forgiveness is healthy. Forgiveness is healthy. Holding a grudge, getting even, is deadly. You see this right here? You say, oh, no, Pastor, don't throw that rock through the screen. Don't throw it at me. Those of you who are sitting near me, they've just scrambled. That boy's got a rock in his hand. I don't know what he's going to do with it. What kind of rock sermon is this? It's an old saying. from I think it is from an Asian culture, that people pick up stones. They pick up hot stones. They pick up volcanic stones to toss at their enemy, not knowing their hand is being fried as they pull it back to cast it, their stone, on their enemy. We don't realize. Frankly, I think that God wants me to help us get another perspective about forgiveness. Not the perspective that if we get even, if this, that, and the other thing, he wants us to forgive based upon also how it is healthy and it is great and wonderful if we forgive others. It is a blessing. I'm gonna go a little step further. Someone hurting you is not good. Amen. But someone hurting you may be the best thing that happens to you in your life. You say, now, Pastor, I know you've gone off now. Let me get my purse. Let me get my car keys. Yes. Sometimes the suffering we go through at the hands of others is a good thing and can change our perspective on forgiveness. You say, what do you mean, man? What do you mean? What are you talking about? How can what this person does to me end up being something good? Listen, I believe that nothing comes into my life, be it tragedy or triumph, that has not been ordained by Almighty God for my good. Nothing. Nothing. You say, show me proof of that. And now I know you guys have read. I know we all have heard and have not read of Romans 8:28. It says, God works all things together for the good who love God and were called according to his purpose. God loves you and me so much, he would never put anything in our lives that would not be for our good. It may not be good right then, but he's not done with it yet. If it ain't good, as the song said, he's not done with it yet. I can think of things in my life that God has brought that if he hadn't, maybe I'd be dead. That is for my good. In Galatians, not Galatians, but in Genesis chapter 20, verse 30. I'll give you that later because I don't think it's the right verse. You heard of Joseph, how his brothers betrayed him. Talking about wanting payback. That's an example of someone has a right to payback. They threw him in prison, lied to their daddy, said that he was dead, et cetera, and sold him into slavery. And over a period of time, you see the hand of God. Over a period of time, you see how this is being worked by God for good, for the saving of many people, not only Israelites, not only the sons of Jacob, but the whole Middle East was saved because one man was done wrong. That man's name was Joseph. He was made captain over the entire Egyptian area, and the people lived and survived. But then it came down, that's Genesis 50 and verse 30. Genesis 50, verse 30. I'm going to quote some of this from the top of my head, but you look at Genesis 50, verse 30. So his brothers come to town. They're about to starve to death. And Joseph got the food. He has the grits, as they say. And he provides enough for his brothers and his father and everybody. And notice what he says at the end of it, after his brothers stabbed him in the back. He said, you meant it for evil, But God meant it for good. Look what God has done through me and for me and for this whole area and all our families. You meant it for evil. But yes, there are people who mean evil for you. But if you're a child of God and you trust God, God will even take that evil and turn it around and use it for good. See, this is all important for us understanding forgiveness. God has good mixed in and planned out for our lives, even though it doesn't feel like it. I don't feel right. I'm not going through this. And yet you may be missing the most important purpose of your life. And see, this just transforms our whole view of forgiveness and suffering. That suffering, if you trust in God, he will work it for good, for his glory. I mean, thousands of years later, we're still talking about Joseph and his brothers and his family. See, we don't see everything. Forgiveness is not your feelings. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by the temporary trouble and pain you may be in. Don't go by, well, I have a right to get even with it. You may, again, be missing your blessing. And God wants to transform our lives. And he uses difficulty. He uses pain. He uses hurt. I think we need to praise God, even in the midst of our suffering. Father, this is hard to see. This is hard to understand. Lord, help us not to go on our feelings. I'm prone that way sometimes. We all are, to one degree or another. Father, help us to trust you and to go by your word and by your heart that is good and wonderful and great towards us. We're going to sing a song here in a moment, but I want us to think of them. That we've got a wonderful, merciful Savior. And that God brings things into our lives. He works all things together for the good. He is compassionate. He knows just how much we can bear. It's that old song. We are our Heavenly Father's children. And he knows just how much we can bear. So back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. One of the ways we grieve the Holy Spirit of God is that we want to, and oftentimes try to hurt those who hurt us. No, that's from God. Yes, they are responsible for what they do. But do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed. For the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling. You're ready to go to fisticuffs. Right away, you go from 0 to 10 in 10 seconds. You're fisting somebody else's face, or you cussing them out. Hopefully you're not doing that. No. God is able. He's able to do more than you could ever do. With all your fisticuffs, with all your anger and all you getting sick and your blood pressure and this and that because you're angry all the time. God is able. He's more than able to handle it. Everything that pertains to us, all the bitterness and all the rage and anger and brawling. You say, how do you get rid of this? You just trust God. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, just trust God. And you see all the wrong going on. Trust him. Take your hands off of it. And let him guide and lead your hand in life. All the rage and anger and slander. You got to tell somebody else by what they did to you. You said, don't we have freedom of speech? Of course, but does it help you? Does it help me to rehearse? Well, if you want to hear some stories, I can go way back with a whole bunch of stories. And a whole bunch of pain. And a whole bunch of suffering. But it doesn't change my present nor my future. I believe that my life is in God's hands, and He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He says, trust me. You don't have to be cussing and fussing. Trust Him. Trust Him. Rest in Him. This is a message for me and for all of us. Does this mean that people just get off with stuff? No. God is fair, God is good, and God is just. Let God take care of it. He can handle it. He really, really can handle it better than you, better than I. He just says, trust me. He says, watch this. Watch this. Are we to, is forgiveness, it's a choice to trust God. It is also, some will ask, well, do I have to reconcile with those who have hurt me and so forth? You have to forgive them. But it does not necessarily mean reconciliation. That's based upon trust. That's based upon repentance of others. You're not their judge, but you don't just go happily and say, okay, well, you know, da da da. No, there needs to be fruit. God wants us to forgive, and we need to choose to forgive others and allow God to work in their lives and not be attacking them. Let God do His work. So, Father, just help us through all this. There's much more that we could say, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear how you lead and guide through your word. And we ask you to show us and help us and give us the patience and bring the healing. Bring the healing from the hurts. Bring the joy where there's been sorrow in the past. Heal the brokenhearted. Let us all rejoice again in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, my brothers and sisters, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And that night when our Lord and Savior was betrayed and yet loved and forgave, while received from the Lord, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed. Now, if anybody had a right for a payback, if anyone had an excuse not to forgive, it would have been Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. He didn't take a rock, poison. You want something to drink? Sip on this. He could have done that. He's the Lord. He's God. He could have not turned water into wine, but water into poison. Well, they were sinners. They had no right to life. They deserved punishment. Jesus would have been in His rights. But Jesus was in His Father, His Father's will. He came not to destroy. He came to give life, and life more abundantly. Not only to Judas, but to us all. Well, I received from the Lord. Here Paul writes this, what also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Forgiveness is the body of Christ for you and for me. That's forgiveness. That bread, that body and blood of Jesus is our forgiveness. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember Him. Remember what He went through. Remember how He lived through it. Remember His actions. on that night and the rest of his life. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You proclaim what that death was like. We proclaim what the fruit of that death was. So therefore, Father, we thank you for this bread, your body, which was torn even as this bread is broken. You were broken. Your body was broken for us. We ask you to bless this bread. Let it not just be something we eat, but something we live by. Your body. And we thank you for giving us your life and your body. We also ask you to bless this wine, Father. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your blood, your cleansing blood. For forgiveness is the shedding of blood. The price was paid so that we all could be free, that all could come to you and be cleansed and forgiven and strengthened. Thank you for this covenant meal. This is my cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance. Remember, remember. We tend to forget, Lord, forgive us. But when we're hurting, when we're suffering, when we are emotionally torn, we thank you for your covenant in your blood and help us to remember the sacrifice. And as we eat and as we drink, help us rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and help us to be instruments of your forgiveness to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know one thing that God does, and he wants us to be like Jesus in this way? He not only forgives us, he forgets. So does he get amnesia? No. No. Our brains were meant and developed by God to remember. Some have asked, well, when we forgive, do we forget? No, it's not an instantaneous thing. We were created to store things. That's how our brain works. But here's the point. We are to forgive and forget by wanting to, or trying to punish, or putting down the person who hurt us, to take revenge. Because you remember what happened. You don't get amnesia necessarily. You remember what happened, but you remember the blood of Jesus. Remember how he's forgiven you and forgiven me of all of our sins by his blood and through his body. And then you determine to make a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. You say, "I still don't feel right about it." It's not about that. It's about a decision that you make based upon the sacrifice of Jesus' body and blood, to take the appropriate action when those thoughts about what they did to you or did to your children or to your mate or your friend or your parents, they may be legitimate, but God has called us to a higher life of forgiveness, to be like Christ and to forgive those who despitefully use us. Say, those who say all manner of evil against us, forgive them. God has called us to something higher and greater and better, knowing that he's working it all for good. So let us eat, let us drink, let us rejoice in the goodness of God and to forgive others and to live a life of freedom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. He forgives and forgets. Let's listen to that song. Thank you.
so easy to say, I forgive you. But forgetting is the hardest thing to do. So my mind can't comprehend how God could be that kind of friend. On the cross he took my place, so my sins he could erase. He forgives and forgets. I stand before him holy. He canceled my debt that day at Calvary. Now I am justified, just as if I never sinned as yet. He not only forgives, he forgives it. In my heart that I believe, he forgives and forgets. I stand before him holy. He canceled my debt that day at Calvary.
He forgives.